to Frequency Matters, the RF Microwave Update series. I'm Pat Hindle. I'm here with my co-host, Gary LaRude. First episode back in the studio since COVID started, but we're managing to deal with that and working remotely for the most part. In this episode, we're going to take a look at our military and aerospace supplement for June, and we're focusing on quantum technologies for the first time. And the RF microwave engineer may say, what the heck do I care about quantum technologies?
Right.
And the answer is, a lot of the instrumentation used to measure the systems and a lot of the hardware used in the systems is from the RF and microwave industry because of the fast speeds, and they even use microwave sources for some systems to excite them. So they are very important to us. It's kind of an emerging market for everybody. And so the first story looks at quantum computing and how a quantum computer works, so you can understand that. And the second one is about instrumentation used in military and aerospace applications that involve quantum technologies. So that can be sensing, communications, or computing. So there's a lot of coverage there. So if you read these two articles, I think you'll have a basic understanding of why it's important to RF and microwave engineers.
Yeah, I think the article that Mark Elo wrote kind of explaining quantum computing was very good. I understood it.
It was one of the best I've seen.
Yeah.
So what else did we have for technical features?
Well, we have one other application note in the issue from Boonton Electronics. They talk about how do you test secondary surveillance radars. Of course, that's the radar we're familiar with for ATC, where the radar sends an interrogation out to the plane. The plane responds. It's a complex waveform, so the testing of it isn't straightforward. It can be complicated depending on the use cases as well. So this article does a nice job of explaining how could you simplify the test setup without losing any measurement data.
And so for product features, we had a couple. One was a fast and accurate measurement system from MVG for aircraft radomes. And the second was what they called the future of EW systems. So Emergent and Abaco teamed up to provide modular hardware and software for a complete EW system. And they're kind of envisioning this as the future of the way that the systems will be approached. What do we have for tech briefs?
Well, we have three tech briefs in the issue. The first one from Fairview Microwave is a temperature conditioned, low loss cable assembly family. Then from Modelithics, we have their latest library of GaN devices from Qorvo. And then from Urzia, we have a family of high-power wideband amplifiers. And these cover various frequency bands, but all the way from 1 gigahertz up to 87 gigahertz, so quite a family.
And so turning to the news, I was kind of in a scientific mode, so I wanted to highlight a few items that I saw in the news that related to that. One was from Goyao Tech in China, and they've developed an electromagnetic launch system for satellites and space vehicles. So they're going to try to commercialize this technology in the next few years and really reduce the cost of launching satellites and spacecraft into orbit. So it'll be interesting to see if they'll be able to accomplish this. They have some novel technology, they say, to bring that to market.
Yeah.
And then the second one was from Purdue University. They developed the first self-powered electronic paper keyboard that I did a video of. And so they've been able to take either cardboard or paper material and make an electronic circuit out of it because they have a process of making it impervious to oil and water. And I think it's kind of like a paper PCB board.
Interesting.
And so that'll be an interesting technology for smart packaging and other applications. And then finally, the last one was the U.S. Department of Energy announced that they've contracted Berkeley Labs to do the next cosmic microwave background stage 4 testing. So that project will get underway. It's funded by NSF and DOE, and there'll be all kinds of institution and organizations collaborating. They're gonna make 500,000 microwave detectors to precisely measure the background radiation. And if you remember back in the 90s, the first NASA project to do that was the COBE experiment. And they measured the complete microwave background, and that verified the Big Bang Theory.
Right.
So in tradition, I have the Big Bang Theory TV series t-shirt on.
There you go.
It was very important. I think the Nobel Prize came out of that work that was done. So what did you see in the news?
Interesting. Well, it strikes me that there's a lot of investment money right now looking to go into 5G and 5G applications. There's something called the 5G Open Innovation Lab with an interesting set of founding partners. Intel, no surprise. NASA, a little bit of a surprise. And T-Mobile, no surprise. And so they're looking for innovative new startup activities to invest in. And we just recently saw that Mixcom has joined as a member of that lab. And then we had announced through our website that EvoNexus and Qualcomm have started an initiative to try to identify startup companies for the EvoNexus incubator that are focused on 5G and blending 5G with AI. And then EvoNexus also introduced a similar initiative that involves Murata and PSemi. So they're looking for startup companies, they're looking for ideas, and they've got money to invest. So that's good. And then the one other thing I wanted to mention, there are a couple of recent 5G fixed wireless access applications that are out there with new CPEs. So Casa Systems announced a high power 28 gigahertz unit, which is kind of elegant, kind of a cylindrical shape, and it's got beamforming so it can detect where the strongest signal is coming from. And then from Adtran, a 60 gigahertz unit using the 60 gigahertz on wireless band. So there seems to be a lot more activity taking place there.
Yeah, the millimeter wave market is still continuing to pick up.
Yeah.
A lot of more testing showing how much better it works than we all thought. So that's
exactly.
Interesting. Turning to events, kind of the same old story with COVID-19. Many events have been canceled or being virtualized. So we saw that the most recent announcement was AOC completely canceled. They're not going to have a virtual component. And then we saw earlier that CES is going virtual. So the big question is, will Mobile World Congress be in person or virtual?
I think.
We are having our EDICON China event in person, October 13th and 14th. Mainland China is open their trade show business, and we think we'll be able to have that with a local crowd in the Beijing, Shanghai area attending. There won't be any international representation, but still have a decent event with the local Chinese. So what do you see on the event side?
Well, long before any of us heard of COVID-19, we started our EDICON online show, and that's coming up for the second year, 4 Tuesdays in October. We have 40 sessions that our viewers can pick from to register for. You can get education credits from the IEEE for attending those. It's a great event. It's filling out nicely, and we're getting ready to go just within a few short weeks.
Yes, so we are.
You can check it out at ediconline.com, get more information about the presentations, as well as register. And I think that's a wrap.
It is.
So we want to thank our sponsors for this episode, RFMW, a pure play technical distributor. And our second sponsor is Wireless Telecom Group. They're the parent company of Booten, Holdsworth, and Noisecom, well-known test and measurement brands, Microlab, a microwave component supplier, and Comagility, a wireless subsystem supplier. So check them out. So thanks for watching, and until next time, please stay safe out there.